The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to episode 2 of season 5. If you've just joined, this is Maria at Maria the Arcane, just about everywhere. And I'm joined by our supreme overlord S, Robin at A Tired Witch on just about everywhere. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, everybody. Guys. Welcome. I'm very excited to be on season 5.
Yeah. And this video should be being uploaded to YouTube, so you guys can now.
Yeah, assuming that we don't mess up this recording, we should be able to have this available on YouTube. This starting from here on out, so that's pretty exciting.
But guys, there's also a 10 out of 10 chance of us messing up. Just kidding.
I wouldn't go so far as saying 10 out of 10, but definitely like, I don't know, 7.5 out of 10. It is going to come down directly to user error. The user
we're
being
just
me.
Two old ladies. It's fine.
We also want to tell you all, because we didn't have our instructors set last episode, we are going to be having a class on dream magic coming up with Elohim, I can speak, Lafar, and it's going to be really exciting. He's going to do a whole class on dream magic. He just had a book come out, and that is going to be on February 25th at 2 p.m., which is very exciting. It is for the library tier and up, so if that's something that you're interested in, you can join us there and watch it later. And if you do want to watch the class, but you're like, Patreon's not for me, we just added Eventbrite to the round table of classes. So Patreon's not for you, but this class is. You can purchase tickets to the class via Eventbrite, which is very exciting.
Yeah, you would just get the class, like none of our Patreon articles or anything like that. It's literally just the class and that's it.
But it is an option for those people who are not fans of Patreon. We know you exist and we're trying to cater to that. simultaneously, our last Coffee Talk episode, we were able to start our voicemail episodes. It's not going to be every time, but we have launched it and we had some really good submissions. And if you're somebody who would like to submit to us a story via voicemail instead of written out, don't forget to call us at 351-207-0799 and you can tell us whatever Coffee Talk story you want.
And we found out the hard way that sometimes you'll have to leave like a second voicemail and just say it's you.
Yeah. So it does have a 3-minute cutoff, but we'll just play it. It's fine.
Yeah. We'll connect
send
it.
Send us multiple. We'll connect it. It'll be fine.
In previous seasons for the section of the pod, we have gone over individual meanings of the cards, and last season we discussed whole different sections of tarot, like the major arcana, aces, court cards, etc. This season, we are going over some of the themes we see in the cards, such as love, friendship, and so on. Robin and I have some differing opinions, as all readers do, so it may help expand your views on new meanings, or if you are a new reader, find your own theme when it comes to the cards. We won't be able to get to like every single card that may symbolize a particular theme, but we will just talk about like 3 to 4 of the ones that resonate with us the most. But this week, I thought we would discuss cards that represent the theme of self-love to go with the theme of the overall episode. So we can't discuss the theme of self-love without addressing the Empress in tarot, who embodies the essence of self-love, self-care, and self-acceptance. One crucial aspect of this card, which I recently explored in an essay for a upcoming publication of a book, is
so
the I know, I'm very excited for it, is the reclamation, I think I said that's right, of an exploration of self and identity. The process stands as one of the most significant acts of like self-love we can give ourselves. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the Empress is depicted with like the symbol of femininity. While this signifies her stating her identity, she also extends an invitation for others to discover and love and accept their own identities. This isn't just limited to matters within like the LGBTQAI plus community. It can also represent a mother rediscovering herself after caring for little ones, or someone who has been so engrossed with engrossed with their life, is completely busy that they've forgotten to who they truly are. And beyond this, the Empress understands the importance of self-care, taking time for oneself. When she engages in self-care, she replenishes her energy and love, allowing her to share these positive qualities with those around her. Now, okay, you might be surprised by my next choice of a card, but please let me explain. Okay, so the Three of Swords is commonly associated with heartbreak. However, upon closer examination of this card, is the heart even truly broken? No, it is not. It remains whole despite the presence of three swords piercing it. This card teaches us the importance of loving ourselves despite the scars that we bear, regardless of the obstacles hindering like our desires. It signifies choosing self-care even if it seems like no one else is doing so. Ultimately illustrates our persistence in the face of challenges, driven by the love we have for ourselves that compels us to keep moving forward. Okay, now lastly, we have the Nine of Pentacles. If this card were a quote, it would be treat yourself. Sometimes self-love is recognizing you are worth a little indulgence. This treat doesn't necessarily have to be bought. It can also involve like energy and time you invest in yourself. It's about acknowledging how far you've come and the effort you put in, which in and of itself is an act of self-love. We often forget to give ourselves permission and the credit we truly deserve to, you know, celebrate our wins. But how about you? What are your cards?
For me, I've got the Sun, because the Sun is all about us being the focus, right? Mm-hmm. There's the warmth that you see, the character, the little boy, girl, the little child, mm-hmm. That's the center stage, that's having a great time, that's happy. It's all about us kind of making ourselves the center of our own universe in that time. I also have picked the Four of Swords, because the Four of Swords is about slowing down. It's about relaxing. It's about knowing when to take a break. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, in my opinion, the greatest act of self-care is knowing when to say, you know what, I need to take a moment. I need to have a vacation time. I need to go to bed early. I need to create a boundary around people that perhaps want to go out and party and it's just doing too much for me, or even just taking a break from social situations in general that are perhaps, you know, running out our battery.
Yeah.
Overall, it's about creating that really good boundary where we're pausing or taking a break and moving forward. And the third one I picked was the Eight of Cups, because there's no greater act of self-love than knowing when to walk away from things that are no longer serving us, especially people, anything that's emotional, because obviously cups are an emotional suit, mm-hmm. anything that is emotional that is just not only no longer serving us, but actively weighing us down, knowing when to walk away from those things is, in my opinion, a really good act of self-love.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I agree. I like how we both chose like difficult cards, like the Three of Swords and the Eight of Cups, because people don't really look for those sort of things in cards, but sometimes self-love is hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It is. It's an ongoing act, right?
Yep, 100%.
If you just joined us this episode, every episode we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. These are not like astrological check-ins for your personal sign. This is just if you work with the moon, how we can utilize it. That being said, just a couple days after this episode comes out is the new moon in Pisces. And I think, which is February 10th, sorry. And I think that it's like the perfect moon for the fact that it's almost Valentine's. And I think that we say this like pretty close to every year. That this might be a repeating pattern. Sorry. I can't help how the moon works, okay, guys?
And it doesn't help that, I mean, our editor, her husband, is Pisces, so, I mean...
He is a Pisces, and yeah. I love talking about it. And our last name is Valentine. Like, I just feel like it's... Listen, this is my month. It's about me. It's not at all, but I like to think it is. Anyway, hold on. Let's freeze. There also is a little part of the day that is going to be the new moon Aquarius. Mm-hmm. We talked about it beforehand. We're not going to touch on that because it is predominantly the new moon in Pisces. Mm-hmm. And if you want to work with the new moon Aquarius, I would check your local times, etc. But we did talk about that beforehand. We decided to not deep dive into it.
Yeah. Which you'll see many people live, online doing it. So it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. But if you,
where I live, that's it's 1 hour of the day.
Exactly. That's why I always say, look at your moon apps and make sure that the moon app you're using has a percentage sign, and check it right before you do any spells or rituals to make sure that it's correct.
Yes. So that being said, the new moon in Pisces, I think, is really great because Pisces in general for like magic is great for dream work. It's great for divination. It's great for things that are kind of like fluffy and a little bit head in the clouds, a little whimsical. And like this episode, we're going to be talking about self-love. Mm-hmm. And I think that Pisces kind of really aligns with that, because when we talk about love in magic in general, we are looking at things that are, how do I word this? Like the best version of itself. Mm-hmm. If like, let's say we were talking about a romantic love, we're talking about two people coming together, like being the best versions of themselves. And that might not be realistic for every day, right? Mm-hmm. It's the dream. And the dream is all about Pisces. So new moon and Pisces, we're doing starting things. We're having fresh starts. We're doing cleansing. Mm-hmm. I would focus on romantic love or self-love or things of that nature that is going to be fresh start. So perhaps you are single and you want to get into a relationship. This would be a really good time to just kind of do a general manifestation of what does your dream partner look like? Mm-hmm. What would that look like for you if you were to have just like a genetically picked person that their personality was exactly how you wanted, and you know, their job was how you wanted, et cetera, et cetera. And it might not be realistic totally, but it's a great starting point on having that conversation with yourself about your self-worth and what you deserve. Mm-hmm. If we're doing self-love, I might do a cleansing of any kind of like negative energy that I'm holding on to that is blocking me from feeling good about myself. I might do a self-love bath, for example, during this mm-hmm. time. And again, kind of going back to that dream thing of if I woke up tomorrow and I was completely content with myself and my life and my mental health, what would mm-hmm. that look like? And I think it's kind of nice to write a little letter to yourself in that respect. Mm-hmm. What about you?
So, I really like Pisces for like magic purposes, like practice, spirituality, like things around that sort of stuff, and especially dream magic. And obviously mm-hmm. we're not getting, you know, the full power of Pisces because this is not a full moon. Right. But I do think that this would be a great time to, if you want to learn more about something that has to do with, like, let's say you want to do more tarot, like this would be a great time to set like intentions for that. If you want to learn more about dream magic, this would be a great time to set intentions for that too. And I even like on our Patreon, I put an article about kind of like taking a new dream journal and basically like, what's the word? initiating it into your craft, like doing a little spell to be like, I'm going to start using this dream journal and like sitting in next to me in bed and stuff like that. And I have like a whole spell for that. But I really do think maybe even like concentrate, oh my gosh, I can't pronounce it, but you know, getting new tools ready for your craft would also be a great thing to do for this moon. Yeah.
I think it's nice.
Thanks.
So this episode, we have decided to talk about self-love. Obviously, we keep talking about it. It's a reoccurring theme. We haven't dropped it. and so because of that, we want to talk about self-love magic and kind of what that looks like for us, our tips, our opinions, etc. Mm-hmm. That being said, Maria, the love of my life, why would one do a self-love spell? Why would we do it?
How would we do it? Because we need to, I think, okay, well, yes, self-love spells are about treating yourself and taking care of yourself and doing all that. I also, like, I believe self-love spells are more diverse than most people think they are. Like, like such spells can involve dealing with emotions, enhancing opportunities for desired jobs, empowering like one's voice, or fostering like a sense of comfort in one's body. And I think, you know, the more specific and personalized we make our self-love spells, the greater the benefit. I'm not discounting like the effective of like a good general like self-love spell, but the outcomes tend to be like, tend to be even more favorable when tailored to our individual situations. Often people like solely focus like on the positive self and the positive aspects of self-love spells. However, I think it's important to recognize that sometimes we need self-love spells to address the challenges we have in our lives, as well as the things that we tend to shy away from, because it is hard, like, self-work. And I know I've spoken about this fairly often on the pod, but it wasn't until like I turned 30 that I truly began using my craft to my ultimate benefit. And like reflecting on this journey I undertook both magically and mundanely, while a difficult one, it became clear that the actions I took were genuine acts of like self-love and care. It involved like giving myself what I truly needed, not just what I superficially wanted. This journey like included like breaking up with like toxic habits and behaviors that were ultimately detrimental to like my well-being, as well as like installing boundaries and the ongoing work of like breaking generational curses. All this self-love work and like journey of mine is an ongoing process. It isn't like, but isn't that like the essence of all self-love spells and magic? But yeah, sorry, that was a mouthful.
no, it was good. I mean, I view a lot of it very similar to shadow work, where you don't just do some sort of internal self-reflection once and you're like, and now I'm better. I am cured. I think that self-love is a journey, and I think that taking the magic out of it, taking the time to have kind of this radical moment of like acknowledgement to what we need for ourselves, to what like we need to work on to be happier, etc., is such a huge thing of self, like it's a huge part of self-awareness in general. And with that self-awareness and with these kind of conversations and ritualistic acts, I feel like it's part of the puzzle, right? It's a piece of the puzzle that kind of works towards making us, quote, better.
Yeah.
Not that we're broken necessarily, but you get my point. It's
self-love,
self-healing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And it's also like the act of like carving out time for ourselves, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. Though I feel like even just doing magic, even just like having a magical practice and actively taking part of it and taking part in it is an act of self-love, because it is time that we are devoting to ourselves and using it to benefit us.
I mean, in the year of our Lord, 2024, how many of us are working more than 40 hours a week, and then also are trying to maintain like some form of fitness, and then also like trying to be partners and parents and mm-hmm. kind of everything that happens, right? That mm-hmm. isn't just like one-on-one time for ourselves, that is like truly just for us. Because like, while yes, you can argue like fitness is for us, it's really not. Mm-hmm. It's to keep your body healthy, or at least for most people. I mean, I know there mm-hmm. are people out there that that is really big for them. But mm-hmm. I at least know on a personal level, I friggin' hate working out. It makes me miserable. I do it because it's good for my body. Mm-hmm. But if somebody would be like, do you want to go on a jog? I'd be like, absolutely not.
No, that's definitely.
Do I want to torture myself for 30 minutes? No.
That's why I think like doing self-love spells is so important, to like individualize for your own situations, because what yeah. works for someone else won't work for you, you know.
Exactly.
All the
necessarily,
time.
Necessarily, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Personalize it to your needs. And you're so like, you're very right about like how busy, you know, everyone is and stuff. And I don't know, there's a lot of power in claiming even at least 5 minutes of your day for yourself to do something just for yourself, whether it be magically or otherwise.
So we've talked about things like self-love being something that we would utilize as kind of an ongoing relationship. But I think it's really important for us to discuss why somebody might use a self-love spell to heal from a toxic relationship, both platonic and romantic. So in that respect, what advice would you give someone?
I believe that performing spells to disconnect from toxic relationships, whether it be romantic, familial, or friendship-wise, is like such an incredible act of self-love and self-care, because it's hard. but I do think that in regards to that, it is it needs to be accompanied by world energy. Like, this type of yeah. spell work demands follow through, since toxic love is like a splinter. While removing the thing that caused the splinter helps sometimes remove it. But sometimes you need tweezers. You need to apply antiseptic. You need to put on a band-aid to prevent infection. I strongly encourage like all witches to establish and maintain boundaries after these types of spells. Boundaries is like are a crucial act of self-love, especially when it comes to this sort of thing, but it's mm-hmm. important for witches to remember to stick with them once they're implemented. I think
it's
people
a real
think
world
oh
application
exactly well people think I put boundaries up with this person, I did the spell work to remove them, but then again, it's like, this also means you need to block that person's number. You need to refrain from reaching out to them. You need to stop checking their social media. Failing to stick to these boundaries reintroduces the energy you wanted to eliminate with the spell. Like, you're just reintroducing the energy. You're like, you're putting it back to where you don't want it to go. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, yeah. I think that especially, we've talked about this before, the popularity of cord cutting spells, mm-hmm. Which is such a great act of self-love. Like, it really mm-hmm. is. Yes, it deals with like creating a boundary with person and cutting somebody off, but having that first step to be able to cut off somebody that is no longer somebody we want in our life, their energy, their physical person, etc., mm-hmm. Is great. If you do the cord cutting spell and then you're still checking their social media, you haven't blocked their number, you get drunk and you reach out to them, like, you're not following through on your end of the deal. And like, mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of people forget, is that we do the spell and then we have to follow through with our half of the deal. Otherwise, we're still feeding energy to this person mm-hmm. and this situation, and therefore we are nullifying our own spell work.
Yeah, yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think and also like all this goes back to just it's hard to practice self-love and care when you're very when you're doing toxic behaviors and you're not really helping yourself. And, you know, and even in the way of, like, you know, toxic relationships, if you've been in a toxic relationship, as we said, like the whole variety of them, it's hard to take care of yourself. It's hard to love yourself because all of your energy is being drained by this person. And it's as I mentioned about like turning 30 and stuff like that, all that shit was like very hard work, and I'm still going through it. And I don't want people to think that they do a spell to remove someone toxic. People think, you know, they do a spell and they can heal from the toxicity of their own actions, toxicity of other people, like, right away. No, like, it's ongoing spell work. It's ongoing, like, recognizing your own emotions and your own habits and your own actions along the way.
I think that the greatest act of self-love somebody can do is begin the process of becoming self-aware on how they interact with other people and how that can affect people, while simultaneously how we interact with ourselves and how that can affect us. You know, people say things all the time, like jokes and stuff like that, and it's just like, you know, words actually have meaning. And when you say things that are negative towards yourself, even if it is a joke, then I'm guilty of this. Robin copes with things by making jokes. But words have power. They have meaning. And just starting that process in general of like having the self-awareness of like maybe even how many times we make this joke in a day or a week or a month or whatever, and how that could possibly be impacting us is, I think, a really huge part of self-love. And then simultaneously, maybe the cord cutting spell needs to be with ourselves and our own actions. You know, I know for myself, I've had a really big struggle with body image. And like the relationship I have with myself and my own body. You know, we all have our own illnesses as it is. mine is mental. Hello. And like, I've been going on a journey for a while now of being okay with myself, no matter like my, what size I am. And like, I've had children now and having to like come to terms with the fact that like my body created life and it wants to remember that. And that that's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing. And so
society makes it a bad thing.
I think that doing these kind of self-awareness moments and then being able to say, I have to do the cord cutting spell on myself because I'm dragging me down. And I think that that's a huge part of it, I guess.
It is, because sometimes the most toxic relationships that we have are the ones with ourselves. So
100%.
Yeah.
Negative self-talk is really evil and toxic and bad and naughty.
And it's habit
so
forming.
Knock it off.
It's such a bad habit. It's
it really
so
is
a habit forming.
And it's an easy habit to get into when we live in a society. I'm not even going to explain the society. You know which one I'm talking about.
And
and especially for those of us who are older, like, this is not to say that Gen Z and Gen Alpha do not suffer with this, because they definitely do. But when we were like teenagers and our brains were forming, you'd have like Jessica Simpson, who was a size 2, and they'd be like, look at this fat cow.
I know. I look back at those photos
and I'm like, were we good?
No, it was such a bad time. Bad time. And yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to say that Gen Z and Gen Alpha does not deal with this. They definitely do. It's just in a different format than we dealt with it. But that's not something that I personally have experienced, so I don't want to like speak on their behalf. But yeah, it's, I think self-love is something that we have to have tough conversations with ourselves about.
That's why, like, a lot of people tend to work with self-love spells during the full moon. But I really see, I
think
don't...
new moon is more appropriate.
I think the dark moon is just a time of just like reflection and sitting with yourself. There's, you know, just being just being with you. Like, the moon's chill, and you need to chill too.
It's fine. It's chill. It's just hanging out. It's not doing nothing crazy.
Yeah, I just, you know, obviously there's still power in the full moon of doing, like, you know, confidence spells and, like, sensuality spells.
Obviously, like the full moon still has power, but
it's still popping. But but no, the dark moon is definitely more reflective, and I think that is a lot that's something a lot of witches don't put into their practice, is the whole self-reflection aspect of the craft.
I think that definitely expands a lot farther than just self-love, but that is a conversation for another day.
Yes,
and
it
that
is.
Not a judgment. That is a, we're all human beings and we're doing our best. Remark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We really are. So
on a different
moving
topic.
On from that rant.
Yeah. So what plants do you like to use for self-love spells?
Can I be, like, kind of obtuse?
Go. Do it. I love obtuse plants. Please go.
I like poppy for self-love a lot. Poppy seeds. Mm. Poppy is typically used with, like, sleep and banishing. I think that a form of banishment is banishing all the bullshit out of our lives. Including the bullshit we do to ourselves. So I like poppy a lot for that. That being said, I don't recommend one putting poppy into anything that might be consumed or put on our body in a large quantity, because that's how we fail an opioid test. So just a recommendation, if you have a job that perhaps does random drug testing, don't fill a bath with poppy seeds and then get in it. Just a thought. Mm-hmm. But I really like poppy for that. I also really like vanilla. Vanilla is what I consider this is pure UPG, my secret ingredient for anything that deals with, like, my own personal growth, including self-love. So if I make, like, any kind of oil for myself to wear, it always has vanilla in it, because I find vanilla's warmth and just general sweetness to apply to, like, how I want myself to feel in these situations. Mm-hmm. And so I like those for that. What about you?
Yeah. So one of my favorite plants for self-care is motherwort. It's just such a comforting plant with a maternal energy and protective edge. Like, I enjoy incorporating it in all my self-love spells, because it's like enlisting your biggest supporter in a spell, someone who will stand up for you and help provide what you need. Because it was used, like, during childbirth and stuff like that, to ease the mom's anxieties and stuff like that, so she could work through, you know, giving birth and stuff like that, and, you know, become the protector of her child. But another one of my favorites is marshmallow leaves. It truly provides, like, this beautiful softness and comfort to spell work, particularly, like, when dealing with, like, challenging emotions while working on, like, a self-love spell. It just makes the process just a little bit easier to digest and navigate. Now, okay, I know this is not technically a plant, but I also appreciate using dirt for self-love spells. You know, dirt carries...
We were just talking about salt burn, and now you're going to talk about dirt?
Yes. Shush.
Interesting. I just something I'm just noticing about you.
Look, maybe that was his act of self-love.
It was not. Anyway.
I know. But to me, like, dirt carries the energy of what once was, like, transforming, like, literal crap into something that aids growth of new and beautiful things. Like, and it additionally provides that grounding element, you know, something many of us need during self-love rituals.
Yeah. I think that dirt is very grounding. That's such a good point. Thank you so much, Maria, for that. I can't not believe you said dirt after you and I privately just talked about salt burn. That's so funny to me.
I didn't connect it till you said it.
Oh gosh. All right, well, so our last question on the topic is, if you were giving somebody advice for a self-love spell, what would you recommend?
Okay, I'm just going to give a good general self-love spell that I have performed in the past. And it, of course, involves candle magic. But
typical,
I like to...
am I right?
I know. I have to, like, you know, Aries, Sagittarius, and this all happening with me. I got to. But using a pink candle, I would etch the words, like... love for self with like a little heart, and then like coat it in some extra melted wax to adhere like rose petals, motherwort, and even like dark chocolate shavings. I'm a big fan of also making crystal grids around candles to amplify the energy and introduce a additional element to the spell. For this purpose, I would typically use like pink rondite, rose quartz, desert rose, and clear quartz crystals, accompanied by like scattered rose petals or buds. But yeah, that's one of my favorite self-love spells. Like, it's just very simple and it's very pretty. And then I would like, with real world energy wise, I would go and do something for myself as it's burning. Maybe that's reading a book, it's taking a bath, it's just doing something that feels good in that moment, like, and yeah, just spending some time on myself. How about you?
Well, we've already talked about the cord cutting, which I would be my first and foremost recommendation. But secondly, I'm a really big believer in self-love baths or showers. I've recently gotten very into the idea of these shower steamers, and they, like, you can make them, but people sell them too that are focused on love, self-love, attraction, etc. And I love taking self-love baths in which I would put things in it like vanilla. I know that maybe sounds a little corny to like put like vanilla extract in your bath, but I like it.
That sounds good. Yeah.
I also like putting things in the bath when we are focusing on self-love that the intention is not to cleanse, but instead to like bring in and to heal. So like we put things in there like Epsom salt, but I'd also put things in there like oatmeal. Oatmeal heals. It heals the skin. It heals the body. But I also think that it's very comforting and nourishing.
Very comforting. Yeah.
Very comforting. I'd put stuff in there like oat straw. I would put blue corn flour in there and possibly rose. Because all these things I think are just very nourishing and comforting. And then from there, I would take the intention of perhaps doing like a meditation where I'm just focusing on like the positive parts of myself that need more love.
I love that so much.
Thanks. And hopefully this helps people a little bit with the launching point of self-love. And if not, sorry.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Why is it so much funnier when I'm looking at you? thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Oh, gosh. Well, book club for the Patreon is reading Braiding Sweetgrass. And I've already read Braiding Sweetgrass a couple of times, but it has been a few years at this point. So this time I've been listening to it on audiobook. And I have to say that the author's voice is like butter. I want her to hold me while reading me her own book. First of all, if you've never read Braiding Sweetgrass, being in our book club or not, you absolutely should be. I think it's a cornerstone book for understanding like Native American practices, experiences, and just having more empathy towards like everything. The book is one of those books that makes me cry every time I read it at several points. Because it's just very emotionally moving. Hearing her say the words, it's taking me out. Like, RIP me. It's just,
But maybe you'll have to listen to it then after I'm done with my audiobook.
It's on I think it's on Spotify. I'm listening to it on Audible, but if you have a Spotify Premium, I believe it's on there. I could be wrong. Do not quote me. Because I had downloaded it on Audible years ago with the intention of listening to it, so I just already had it there. But I believe the book club was saying it is on Spotify Premium. So,
well, that's good news. I could be wrong. I don't have to use an Audible credit.
Really, 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 really good. Like, really, she's got a great voice, and it's just it makes it that much more moving hearing her say like say it in her own words. You know what I mean?
I'm really so good. Jealous of really good speakers.
Me too.
As listen, we say,
Maria, at the end of the day, we can be sexy or we can be literate. And we had to pick one.
Yes, so sexy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. This is so funny. Anyways, so I am currently in the sad process of taking down my winter decorations. And I can't help but feel like very sad about it, especially since I know that spring is still quite a bit away. This is like the lull in the year that I really, really hate. Like, I love winter. Yeah. But at this period of time, and while I'm really looking forward to spring, it can't arrive fast enough. I just want to go hiking again. I want to look for some plants. I want to sit by like water and journal. And I know that I can do this all in winter. And honestly, like I reached a point that I'm going to. It's not that I haven't gone outside with nature. It's just not at the level that I typically do when plants are thriving. You know, wintering is a real thing and I usually lean into it. However, I'm ready for change. Like this year, I really want to embrace the like feral forest witch within me and be out on the trails every weekend. And I love collect that. All my, you know, my nettle, my cleavers and forest bathe. You know,
my dad got really into forest bathing for a while. I think I've talked about that before.
You haven't, so you're gonna have to tell us.
Yeah,
maybe we should do an episode really... on forest bathing.
That's a good idea. I'll bring my dad on. We'll bring Don on, and he can talk to you about his sit spot.
Photography dad.
Yeah.
But you know, I know that even when spring does roll around, everything's still going to be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not until like April, May when things start coming back to life. But yeah.
April showers, bringing flowers.
2 months to go. 2 months to go.
Hang in there, you've got this. We've barely had any snow this year. We've just had a ton of rain.
I know. California is getting freaking pounded. I feel so bad for our California.
We're drowning, baby. Not, yeah. I mean, we're not that bad because we're in the mountains, but RIP if you are in LA.
I hope our LA witches are staying safe. Please stay safe.
Literally, though, actually, like, it is it's very floody. And yet, we're not out of a drought. Much to consider. Goodness. If you've just joined us this week, every single week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be anything from artists, bloggers, other podcasters, just anything that Maria and I are both organically finding. These are not ads that we are vibing with. And this, well, not this year, we started last year. We've started adding a listener submission into that. And so if you have got something that you think would be really cool for the community to hear about, make sure to send it to us. But that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So, over the holidays, my wife got me this beautiful reproduction deck. Like, Llewellyn has been releasing these reproductions of, like, antique decks and stuff like that. And she got me the most recent one. I think it's the most recent one, but it's very, very pretty. Like, I'm not going to pronounce the whole name of it, but it's the Di Giovanni deck. And we'll have a link for it so you can search it and find
the
it
full
for yourself.
The full title will be in the caption, as always.
Yeah. But it's a very simple deck. Like, it's a bunch of, like, line drawings and stuff like that, but it's, like, beautifully done line drawings. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, no color to it. It's, like, tan with just, like, black lines and little black illustrations on it. And, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just, it's very pretty and, like, a different take on a deck from that time period that I've never seen before, and I really enjoy it. I think the only downside to the deck is, which I want to be clear about, is the cardstock. The cardstock is not that great. I have other reproductions of from Bluellen, and this one wasn't the best cardstock for the reproductions that they have done. Like, it literally feels like, gosh, I'm trying to think about it. It feels like a label almost. It's like very thin. And I've only like shuffled it like, I don't know, like 10 times, and the cards are already kind of like crescent mooning a little bit. But
that sucks.
I know, but it is still a very pretty deck and I still want it.
Because, so glad to have it.
Yeah, glad to have it. And I have tried to find like a real, you know, second hand find, even though it would be way older than second hand, but trying to find a original one of it or a reproduction done of it like earlier in time, but I have yet to find one, so I don't know. So right now I'll just deal with what I'm given, and I like it. So how about you? What have you been liking?
One of our Patreon members actually sent me this like on Instagram, and I'm like so obsessed because it was a giveaway that they sent me. And the artist is called Medulla Textiles. They make pocket altars. And like, I've seen pocket altars done before, but like this, I've never seen ones done like this. They're like hand stitched. I think that the artist prints the images onto fabric and then cuts that out and puts it in. And they're just really nice, and I really want to commission one.
Those are so cute. Sorry.
Right? They're so good. I really want one. I just think they're really beautiful. And I'm sad I did not win the giveaway. Not that I actually expected to, because there was like 15,000 entries. But wow, right? Like, so beautiful. Just really breathtaking.
It reminds me of those, like, Victorian, like, paper folding things that they used to do, you know?
Yeah. It's really wonderful. I think they're really beautiful. They're really nice. And it's such a good take on, like, what altars can be. I know we've had, like, lots of conversations before on here about, like, what an altar can be. And I think that this is a really nice take on that, so...
Yeah, it's very pretty. I like it very much. I also like their dolls. Their dolls are very cute.
Very cute. Who is our listener submission this week?
Okay, so our listener submission is bloodmoonbotanica.com. And apparently it's filled with like very good smelling perfumes that one of our Discord members can't stop smelling. Like smelling and think that smells delicious. So yeah, definitely check them out. They seem like a very cute store. So yeah.
Very exciting. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again on February 16th for our Coffee Talk episode, or February 23rd for the third episode of Season 5. And in that episode, we're going to be joined by Paulina of P is for Palmistry, and we're going to be talking about palmistry, which will be so fun. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us on February 25th for our class on dream magic, which is going to be so exciting. And that class is going to be available for the library tier and up on Patreon, or you can head on over to Eventbrite where you can join from there.
And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part two episode, a huge library of articles on witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events, discussions, and people. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yes. It's our mentorship tier. We would love to see you there.
Yeah.
And if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just chef's kiss voices, please take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or something else. We love reading your reviews, and just taking a couple of seconds to just hit a couple stars on there really helps us to be seen by others. So we really appreciate those who have and those who will.
And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Bye, witches! That was pretty good.
Yeah.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.